Get your outlines, everybody. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. Verse 1. Came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So turn back with me, if you would, and look at something else about crossing the Red Sea in Genesis 35. Genesis 35 and verse 1 through 5. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there, make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So here was the same situation that's happening with the Amorites and the Canaanites and the tribes of the Canaanite people, that they've heard about God miraculously, supernaturally opening up the waters of Jordan for Israel to cross over, and it has taken the strength out of them because of the fear of God and his power and what he could do. Same happened to these nations when Jacob went up to Bethel and took his family up there. Turn over to Exodus 15 with me. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Let's go down through verse 18. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Now, all of these, go over to chapter 23, the last one I'll look at, Exodus 23 and verse 27. 23:27. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. And I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee. So God is revealing how he, in his power and might, represents Israel in a supernatural way. And that's something that we are missing in church today, that we don't have that supernatural power of the Lord demonstrated. So there's no fear of God in the eyes of man. People think they can just do anything. There was a time in America when people would not do harm to a church building. You could leave the doors unlocked. You could leave valuable things out. Nobody bothered. They said, that stuff belongs to God. I'm not taking that. You know, God will get you for that. We could leave the doors unlocked. But the failures in morals and ethics with families, no punishment for wrongdoing, and the court system's not punishing those who do wrong, then attitudes have changed. Churches must be padlocked today with security systems, and the men of the church have to serve as security to keep an eye on suspicious activity around the church. The vast majority of people just have no fear of God, and they feel like they could do anything, and nobody's going to do anything about it. I knew a young man who stole a saw at a Sears store in Charlotte, and he got caught. He went to court, and the judge was up on his bench up here, and the young man was standing on the floor, and his dad was sitting down there, and he dropped an IBM computer printout off the top of the bench, and it just rolled out down there on the ground about 5 feet deep. And he said, son, I'd like to let you go because you said you stole that saw to get a job. And he said, but when I look at this printout and see all the arrests you've had and all the things, crimes you've done, I got to give you some time. He said, maybe you'll think about it a little more. So he gave him a year up here in Charlotte at Camp Green. And it helped a little bit for a little while. But wasn't too long after that, he went to the car dealer and said, my daddy's going to buy me a new car for my birthday. And he said, I want to drive that one and see if that's the one I want. And they let him drive it down the road. He stayed gone a little while. He brought it back. But what he did, he made a key while he was gone. And so then that weekend at night, he came back and got that car. He had the key, drove it off. He drove it for about a year. Went down where his mom lives in Florence, South Carolina. And he got him a girlfriend. And he let the girlfriend drive the car while he was working, and she had a fender bender. They found out it wasn't his car, and the tag on it was a stolen tag and all that, so they got him again. He went back to jail. He was a smooth talker. The jailer at the jail, it was somewhere around Spartanburg, Greenville, he let him off for a weekend to take his car and took his daughter to the beach. He was in prison. And he did go back, you know, when he was supposed to and that sort of thing. But no fear. Just no trepidation at all about doing something wrong and getting caught. And that's because there's no fear of God in their eyes. If the church today had the supernatural power that the nation of Israel had, and if God did for us in the miraculous way that he did for people in that day, then people would fear the church more and fear God more. But most of us know that Pentecostal churches have tried to manufacture miracles and the power of God and that sort of thing. But it is faith healers and miracle workers, most people don't put much stock in that. And quite often their lives don't match what they're preaching, and so they lose any effectiveness. We all long for the power of God in healing people within the church. We pray for those that need to be healed. We know that God has the power to heal. And God has given us a way of how we're to approach Him. We are to confess our sins and forsake our sins and draw close to God. And we're to pray for those and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord and turn them over to God's healing and pray that they will be healed. We seek God in prayer and follow a biblical pattern to try to find the miraculous healings of the past. The apostles had power, but the apostles have all died. There are no apostles today. There have not been any apostles for almost 2,000 years. Once they died off, the apostolic power on man has ceased to exist. There are no prophets today. Once the Bible was complete, apostles and prophets are no longer in existence today. You can speak forth the word of God and prophesy, but that's not a direct revelation from God speaking to us to report what God has said. If we still received messages from God like that, then the Bible would not be complete because that would be the word of God. And we'd have to add more to the Bible. But the Bible is complete. Turn over with me to Revelation 22. Last book, last chapter. Revelation 22. And verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. The word of God is completed, and we don't hear audibly from God in this day and time, this dispensation in which we live. The only thing we will hear from God will be the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we'll go to heaven to be with the Lord in the rapture. And God required a reckoning of his people before they could make progress in once they crossed over into Gilgal. We saw that God parted the Jordan for them, backed up the waters, put the priests and the Ark of the Covenant standing in the dry ground, the bed of the river, and the nation was to cross over and come out on dry ground, and they did that. And then God required them to have circumcision for all those who had not been circumcised, all the males. And then God made a covenant with them, restoring his covenant. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham to give them this land to begin with. And now God is renewing that covenant. It had to be restored before the men went into battle in order to have the power of God being revealed through them. They couldn't rush ahead and attack Jericho on their own. They weren't getting plans on how to scale the walls or anything of that nature. As a matter of fact, God gave them different plans, which we'll see in just a moment. But they renewed their covenant and their right relationship with God. And God has a plan for them to follow. God has a plan for us to follow. God wants us to live for Him and serve Him and obey Him. And He will protect us and provide for us. And those are things that God can do even miraculously. We must be in the spiritual state to have God's help. We can't operate in the energy of the flesh. We can't be carnal-minded and have the power of God in our life. We can't operate in anger and wrath. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 through 17. The wrath of God works not the work of God. The wrath of man works not the work of God. James 1:20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When Israel went to war at one point, they ran before the enemy and fled in fear. And that was because of Achan's trespass. When they went into Jericho and took the city, God said, "Do not take any of the spoil. You are to put the valuable things into the treasury of the house of God, but you are not to take any of the other things." And they were to kill all the men and women and children. In Joshua 7, there was a warning. Joshua gave a curse upon any man that violated. And when they went out to battle, they ran before their enemy. And God said, "There's a curse in the camp. There's sin in the camp." Achan had taken some garments and a wedge of gold, and he buried it in his tent. And they lost the power of God because that one man had violated what God told them to do. First, we have to deal with our own sins and get on God's side. And then we have God on our side, and we can face the enemy. Gilgal was a place of remembrance. It was a place of renouncing their sin and their past. It was a place of drawing close to God and renewing the covenant relationship with God. And they were to repent and make things right in their lives. Only God is strong enough to do what was done for Israel in taking the land, to face the satanic powers and the evil spirits. They had to be on holy ground at Gilgal in order to obtain the land from God. First, cleansing, then the knowledge of God's word, and then obedience unto God. We put on the armor of God. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that gives us strength in the battle. Our loins are girt about with truth. We have the shield of faith. All these things are required of us to fight the battle that we have to fight on a continuous basis. We must not allow the flesh to cause us to fail. Our Christian walk and our Christian character can obtain the help of God to face the battles that we face. In John 15, the Bible speaks of us as fruit trees. We cannot bear fruit unless God prunes the limbs of our lives. God has redeemed us to become disciples and make disciples. I ask you, how are we doing in that job? Israel observed the Passover at Gilgal. There's no mention of the Feast of Passover through the 40 years in the wilderness. They observed the Passover at Sinai when they first left the Red Sea and came to Mount Sinai. They observed the Passover. Now they observe the Passover in Gilgal. 40 years has passed by. All that adult generation died off. God expected them to observe the Passover yearly. And the Passover falls in the time of the Easter celebration for us. Jesus died on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And prior to that, he observed the Passover before he was crucified. And so we are to observe the Lord's Supper in that time of year, but we can observe the Lord's Supper as oft as we do it to do in remembrance of Christ who died for us to pay for our sins. It was a time of worship. It was a time of remembrance. It was a time of fellowship. It was a time of being restored with God. The Passover and communion can be an opportunity for God's people to take inventory of their lives. You've heard me talk about communion when we take communion, that it is like an opportunity for revival. If we truly draw close to God and confess all our sin and seek to do business with God, great things can happen when a church does that together. We can walk with the Lord. We repent of all wrongdoing and draw close to God. And if we draw close to God, He will draw close to us, the scripture says. Now, many people fall short of being all in for God. They feel, they struggle with their time, their talents, their energies. They have many things they want to be involved in their lives and their families. And they have a hard time putting God first and making Him preeminent in everything in their life. The world loves entertainment. It loves pleasure. And the Bible says that men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That they will not obtain true doctrine. That they will overlook the Scripture's teaching. Some just want a small amount of religion. Just want to go to church. Just want to go Sunday morning. Just want to go once in a while. Just, it's a family thing. It's something they're used to, and so they do that. Instead of being totally committed to the church and to the Bible, as we all should be. Now, the Bible said in chapter 5 of verse 11 of Joshua that after the Passover, they began to eat the corn of the land, and the manna ceased. And so God now had brought them to the place He had promised. They were going to have the bounty of what the land could produce for them, and they no longer needed the manna to survive. Joshua is at Jericho. Look at chapter 5 of Joshua and verse 13. Came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You remember Moses had a similar experience when he saw the burning bush, and he went to see that great sight of the bush that burned but was not dissolved. And God told him to take his shoes off his feet because he was standing on holy ground. When we bought this 5 acres of land right here, it was a forest. All this land where the apartments are, all of this was just one big forest that came all the way up through here. And I asked that we would get 5 acres and that we would come down this far. We had 700 and something feet of road frontage, and that we would go straight across to 21, and it would make a pie-shaped piece of land here. And we got out and tried to clear some of the trees and things like that ourselves. We hired a bulldozer to do the rest. I would come out here sometimes on Saturday and walk around. I'd take my shoes off. I stepped on stobs and walked around and prayed. Lord, I've heard all these stories of men who prayed for you to give them money to build a church building and buy a bus and do things like that. And I'm wondering if those stories are true. If you did that for them, will you do that for us? And prayed and walked and walked and walked to try to cover this whole 5 acres of land. I wanted God to bless this piece of property, that we could build a church here and establish a work for God. And God has blessed. Joshua is by Jericho. Now, he's probably thinking about how he's going to attack Jericho and what all he's going to have to do. And he sees this man, and he has a sword drawn in his hand. And he finds out this is the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua falls on his face to worship. The same experience of Moses. In chapter 6, God gives Joshua the battle plan for taking Jericho. Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city. All ye men of war, go round about the city once. Thou shalt do this 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant." So he's going to obey God and do exactly as God told him to do. And when he did this, God made the way. These were walled cities. They were safe from attack. But they had no idea that God would cause the walls to fall down flat so Israel could just walk in. Whittier wrote about this passage, "So let it be in God's own might. We gird us for the coming fight. And strong in him whose cause is ours, in conflict with unholy powers, we grasp the weapons he has given, the light and truth and love of heaven. With Christ our captain, who is there, and they are to do the work that he called them to do, to follow him and obey." They entered the city by blowing the trumpets, by shouting a great shout. The wall fell down flat. They didn't use hammers. They didn't use ladders. They didn't scale the walls. They didn't fight the war among the people. God worked it all out for them. Now, we are the church of Jesus Christ. He's the captain of our salvation. We have a struggle between us and evil. Darkness versus light. Satan versus the King of Kings. Jesus faced in the wilderness Satan in the temptations of the wilderness. He was opposed. The embodiment of the demon-possessed men at Gadara opposed Jesus entering their land. The men that the hogs, where he cast the demons into the hogs and they ran into the sea and drowned themselves. Jesus faced the difficulties. In Gethsemane, he prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. When he thirsted on the cross, he cried out, "I thirst," and he bled out on the cross all of his strength. He was buried, what seemed to be in weakness and death. But he arose triumphantly on the 3rd day in power and victory. We alone are no match for Satan and his emissaries. But in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let us repent of any lusts and failures and fears and doubts, and let us follow our Lord in following him like they walked around the city. And the obstacles that we face, if we are believing, he can take up our cause. When we by faith follow him in priestly purity and sound the trumpet of witness for his namesake, the walls can come down and we can be strong and find answers to our needs. Back in chapter 6 and verse 16, "Came to pass the 7th time the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And they come to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city and every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, and she swear unto him. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brethren and all she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp. And they burned the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son he shall set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Turn over to 1 Kings with me in your Bibles. 1 Kings 16. In verse 34. Let's read verse 33. Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And in his days did Hiel, the Bethlehemite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. The curse that was put upon that city cost that man his two sons' lives. We don't know if he knew all those things, but we know it happened just as the Bible said. We face many obstacles, many troubles and trials and problems in life. God help us to recognize how dependent we are on the power of God and the help of God. So let us keep short accounts with the Lord. Let us confess our sins regularly and repent of any wrongdoing and draw close to God. And then let us, as 1 John says, walk with God in the light of his word. And if we do that, he will bless us and protect us and guide us, and he will defend us from the enemies that are out there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everybody being here tonight. Pray your blessings upon each and every one. Give them safety as they travel home. Bless their families, we pray. And Father, we look to you and we say that your word is truth. Help us to be those who believe it and live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Diane will play through a